This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on into a happy Tuesday edition of Sports Talk, November the 19th, and we are on a bye this week. Saints fans getting ready for a chill weekend, just watching a lot of football and getting ready for the Black and Gold's next matchup will be the first day of December, December 1st. They're back home in the Superdome hosting the LA Rams. We'll get to watch the Rams playing the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday Night Football. Do a little scouting on that. Interested to see how that one shakes out because, man, oh, man, that Rams squad scares me, not just because of Matthew Stafford and some of the weapons he has, but also that Rams defensive line has been pretty darn tough to deal with and been getting after the quarterback. So it'll be a big challenge for Darren Rizzi and co coming right off that bye week, and interested to see, obviously, too, who is coming back healthy for the Black and Gold bunch. Tonight, another team with a lot of guys that are nicked up right now, definitely more than injuries than the Saints are dealing with the New Orleans Pelicans playing at the Dallas Mavericks, a 7:30 tip-off, 7 o'clock pregame coverage on 870 AM on 105.3 FM. You'll get the Saints Hour with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis, along with the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas. But man, oh man, this Pels matchup tonight in Dallas, an NBA Cup game. The Pels are 1-0 right now in the NBA Cup after beating the Denver Nuggets. They were without Nikola Jokic, but we'll take anything we can get at this time. It'll be interesting to see this evening. Will Luka Doncic be in the lineup for the Mavericks? I don't think that has been released yet, but still without the Pels are going to be without a lot of guys, including obviously still DeJounte Murray, Zion Williamson, CJ McCollum, Herb Jones, Jordan Hawkins, Jose Alvarado, and Charlie, you got an update for me.
Andrew Lopez, sideline reporter for the Pelicans. Mavs coach Jason Kidd said Luka Doncic, right knee contusion, is available tonight against the Pelicans.
Boo.
Yeah, yeah. So the Pels, you're looking to get off to a 2-0 start in the NBA Cup after you picked up that win last week, as you mentioned, against the Denver Nuggets. At the same time, you got to do it against the best backcourt in the NBA with Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. So, good luck. I mean, we'll see. Like, Luka is so good, man. He's so fun to watch. As far as the Pelicans, I mean, you heard the audio from Willie talking about how you need to attack them, you know, force some turnovers, get out and transition against this team, make them defend, you know, be fast. Like, show off your speed in this matchup because you are down a bunch of players. You're down in talent in this matchup. And even if you were fully loaded against this Mavericks squad, they're off to a 7-7 start, which I think is a little bit surprising given the talent that they have.
Sure.
Even if you were fully healthy, I think you would probably be underdogs in this game. But you're not even fully healthy. So it will be an interesting one to see what happens. If the Pelicans can pick up a upset victory in Dallas, they get off to a 2-0 start in the NBA Cup play. And, I mean, this is the NBA Cup group of death, in my opinion, Steve.
Oh, totally agree.
When you're
right,
looking at the Nuggets and the Mavericks and the Warriors and the Grizzlies, it's like, geez. The NBA did the Pelicans no favors at all. So, but we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to the matchup. I'm looking forward to talking with Jake Madison about it specifically because I just think the Mavericks, their record is a little bit deceiving.
Sure.
Like, you look at a 7-17, you're like, oh, maybe the Pelicans
can pick
a win.
Yeah, they're just average.
They're a really strong team. So, Yeah, it's going to be an uphill climb for an underhanded Pel squad.
Yeah, we mentioned, obviously, the injuries with the Pelicans, but some good news is it looks like that Jordan Hawkins and C.J. McCollum are close to getting back. I doubt that either one will be ready for either game of this back-to-back Dallas tonight. And then, oh, yeah, the undefeated Cavaliers tomorrow. We'll see what the Cavs do tonight, though, too. They're playing the Boston Celtics. But C.J. McCollum should be back soon. We heard from him at Pel's practice, and here's what he had to say. Obviously, positive news if he's speaking. So here's one of the leaders on this Pel squad, C.J. McCollum, after practice.
CJ, where are you at right now in getting back on the court? Coach said you were able to practice.
I'm getting close. I'm in the return to play protocol right now where I'm doing 5-on-5. I got 1-on-1 coming up, and then we'll go from there. I don't think they put a timeline on when I'm going to return, but I'll be back soon.
When you joined this team, I mean, you didn't go through the first half of the year where they started 3-16 or whatever, but you helped them, you know, make the play-in and make the playoffs. Are you guys still looking at it like that's very much within reach? Like, you know, postseason stuff is within reach.
Yeah, I mean, we got to get healthy first. I think that's the thing that everybody's looking at is, you know, when are we going to be healthy? When are we going to be able to put, you know, our best players on the floor consistently? We haven't been able to do that. And our reality is that we've lost a lot of games. We still have a lot of games left to play. And teams go on runs in either direction. And for us, I think we're playing better basketball now. It's about getting healthy, continuing to bring guys along, guys that, you know, have had a chance to kind of play extended minutes, have been able to show what they have to offer, which is great for their development, but also for our team. And for us, once we get back, we got to take it one game at a time. But we got to win at a higher pace than normal in order to have a chance. And I think we're all aware of that. And, you know, this is when it really matters in terms of beating teams you're supposed to beat earlier in the season. You know, you can't lose the teams that have no chance of making the playoffs. You got to have those games because when you get in this part of the schedule where you got Dallas, you got Cleveland who ain't lost a game yet, you got the Warriors who are best team, best record in the West right now, Knicks coming up, we got Pacers, you got a lot of teams that are good, and this is a part of the schedule where it gets difficult, so you have to win the games you're supposed to win and be competitive in the others. And I think we're heading in a good direction. Hopefully, bodies start coming back in the next week or so.
How tough has it been when you come in expecting the team to look one way and then basically everybody gets hurt and it's like a completely different team the past couple weeks?
Yeah, I've never seen a team get so many injuries at once to so many guys that are that important to a team. Usually it's one or two and you kind of figure it out, and that's difficult. But, you know, you're talking 7 guys, 8 guys who are all in rotation, a lot of guys that are starters. You know, you're missing essentially the highest paid players on the team besides B.I., right? All at once, I think it's difficult, but coach has done a great job of kind of keeping us together. Younger guys have played well. They obviously Boston, you know, some of those guys who even weren't on the roster to start the season are playing impactful minutes and developing, but we got to get it together fast. We got to start winning games and we got to get healthy. Within reason, right? Guys shouldn't rush back, but whenever they're ready and they hit the ground running, we're going to need every game.
You mentioned him. What you been able to, I guess, just feel what Brandon Ingram has been able to do?
He always could hoop. I think that's what people don't understand. Like, he always had game. He's a McDonald's guy. He was at Kentucky for a reason. And now I think he's mature. He's starting to understand the NBA game better, his pace, the way he's getting to his spots. And some of it is opportunity. You get drafted to the Clippers, he ain't going to play a lot as a young player. So a lot of it is opportunity. But there's a lot of guys that are talented, and you're seeing that in him, a talented guy who's worked on his game, done things the right way in terms of preparation. He works on his body. You know, he's doing the little stuff that's important for longevity in the league, and then obviously the game is speaking for itself on the court.
No, the other Brandon can hoop as well, man. What he's been able to do for you. I mean, great.
I just told him today, man, he's been a man amongst children in terms of his approach, in terms of the consistency. Obviously, he's shooting more threes. He's passing. He's defending. He's having to carry a huge, huge load, and, you know, in spite of what kind of went on this summer, all the questions, all the contract stuff, he's been very professional and has showed up every day, and I'm proud of him for the way he's approached this season.
What's going to stand out to you about Willie's approach during these past couple weeks when he's just trying to figure stuff out night to night?
He's always even keel. Coach Willie is always steady. You know, he was steady when, you know, the Titanic was kind of sinking when I first got here. You know what I mean? A lot of losses in a row. B.I. was hurt. There was a lot going on with the team, and he was always steady. You know, he said that we'd turn it around, and I think this is different, similar but different, because so many guys are hurt. We know we got potential to be really good, but we got to put it together and we got to be healthy. And I think the tide's going to turn. And, you know, I joke with Z, winter is coming. You know, it's going to get better for everybody soon.
That was C.J. McCollum as he gets ready to return to this Pels lineup. And, man, any kind of bodies back would be very helpful, because right now you're looking at the starters, it's just B.I.
I mean, you're talking about 20 points per game and C.J. McCollum coming back. Yes, come back, please, soon. as soon as possible. If I mean, and it seems like he's getting close, but when Willie was asked about his availability for the road back-to-back, he said it was kind of up in the air.
Yeah.
He wasn't really willing to commit to, yeah, CJ's going to either play tonight versus Dallas, or, and he's not playing tonight versus Dallas, no, or tomorrow night against Cleveland.
Maybe Friday at home against Golden State?
That would be obviously the earliest you would imagine he could potentially return.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, I mean, maybe it might be next week, right? But he's getting close, which is a good sign. Now, you still need to get Zion back and Hawkins, who's also apparently getting closer to returning.
Right, because he spoke with the media as well.
Same thing with
Herb. That's got to be positive signs,
you think.
Yeah,
like you're starting to see some pieces get close to coming back. And that's what Willie also said at his kind of interview yesterday, where he talked about, yeah, we're starting to get some guys healthy. Like, they're still kind of in the return-to-play processes that CJ was talking about. But once you start getting those guys back, you can see if you can go on a run. But I mean, it just can't be too late to where you've already dug too deep of a hole in the Western Conference, right? So
very similar like the Saints. You know, you got the injuries. They dug into that 7-game losing skid that they're trying to dig out of now.
Yeah, I would agree. So at the same time, in the Western Conference, it's so tough, Steve. I mean, you have so many squads that are competing for 8 spots.
Right.
And if you're right now in 14th place in the West with a 4-10 record. So if you can pick up a win tonight against the Mavericks, it'd be huge. Now, once again, Luka Doncic is playing. Like, this is a really talented Mavs squad. You don't feel necessarily confident in
it. And they were able to be OKC without Luka.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. They have talent on that roster, Steve. PJ Washington, Kyrie Irving, Derek Lively. I mean, Klay Thompson's been, I think, kind of off to a mess start.
Right.
Which is, I think, a little bit to be expected. But they've got a really, really tough roster top to bottom. And so, I mean, you just got to figure out a way to pick up some W's.
We'll dive deep into more of this Pelicans matchup in Dallas tonight, and obviously they got to turn around and play Cleveland tomorrow, so we'll get into that with Jake Madison of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. Stay tuned right here on WWL, coming back with more sports talk right after the break.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Pelicans at Dallas Mavericks, 7:30 tip off, 7 o'clock pregame coverage coming up, 8:70 a.m. We're going to preview that. For that, we're going to welcome in Locked On Pelicans podcast host Jake Madison to the radio huddle. Jake, how you been, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on to talk some hoops here.
Definitely appreciate your time always, and man, oh man, got some good news at least yesterday, you know, seeing after practice the likes of Jordan Hawkins and CJ McCollum talking to the media. Obviously, that seems like positive signs that they are close at least to getting back from their injuries.
Yeah, I think you're going to start seeing some reinforcements arrive from the New Orleans Pelicans pretty soon, and I think it's going to start with CJ McCollum. You know, he's not playing tonight. I don't think he'll end up playing tomorrow, but we could see him as soon as Friday against the Golden State Warriors or next week, too. And I think they're looking to maybe get more than just CJ McCollum back for that game against Toronto on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, whether that's Jordan Hawkins, whether that's Herb Jones, and it sounds like DeJounte Murray isn't too far away as well. So it's not Zion Williamson, but those are guys that the Pelicans really need to get back sooner rather than later to kind of get off of the streak that they're on and stay in contention and try and make a run later in the year.
Yeah, because obviously everyone, we all know that the injury bug has been brutal on this Birds bunch early on, and having anybody back would be a huge asset. Looking at this game tonight, obviously the Dallas Mavericks, 7-7, me and Charlie were kind of talking about that. Looks a little deceiving for this squad that's really talented.
It is, but they're missing something from last season, and I'm not sure whether it's leadership or something on the defensive side. You know, you saw them go on a pretty, I don't want to say miraculous run at the end of last season, going into the playoffs and then carried that form over until they got to the NBA Finals. But I wasn't sure if that was going to be replicable for this team, and you're kind of seeing them come back down to earth a little bit. I thought it was really punctuated last week with that loss to the Utah Jazz, where Luka Doncic straight up fell asleep on defense on the game-winning dunk for the Utah Jazz. They're just missing some sort of edge that they've had to them, and I think they'll get round into form eventually, but at least the Pelicans are getting this team right now when they're not necessarily at their peak. They're pretty weak defensively. It really comes down to PJ Washington for him, the big man down low, who's kind of their defensive spark, and he had been dealing with some injuries. He's back now. But if they can get him in foul trouble or keep him kind of out of the game, make him less effective, that really does open the door for the New Orleans Pelicans maybe to get this win. You know, you've seen them really fight in a lot of these games. The games are close for three quarters going into the fourth quarter, too, and it's just talent that's ultimately the reason why they're losing. So the second they start getting some of these guys back, I think you'll see the Pelicans start picking up some wins again, too, and maybe they can get one tonight and kind of build some momentum going into all of that.
You just got to figure out a way to tread water, right, Jake? I mean, at this point, you've started to drown with 10 losses in the last 12 games. It's kind of fallen apart a little bit early here. But at the same time, this is an opportunity. I mean, another one, basically. The Mavericks open as 13.5-point favorites in this game. Luka Doncic is reportedly playing, so you're going against the backcourt of Doncic and Irving, and we always know, you know, what kind of troubles that can provide a defense. But also, you know, as you mentioned, PJ Washington, Derek Lively, this is a really talented bunch. And listening to what Coach Green was talking about, you know, not just yesterday, but also in the post game after the Lakers loss, where he loved the effort and he loved what they were doing. And he said that if they show that type of effort every night, they're going to pick up a lot more wins than they do losses. At the same time, when you're outmatched talent-wise, it's all about that effort, right? You have to be able, and that's what Coach Green talked about yesterday after practice, was they have to get up and down the floor, get out in transition, get some buckets easy that way. But I mean, is there kind of a route to taking down this Mavericks team tonight? You kind of talked about their defense, but I think it's also going to be interesting to see if the Pelicans can execute their game plan against a really talented bunch.
Yeah, look, you're going to need to do it for 48 minutes, and that's been the problem for New Orleans. And that's truly not a knock on the team, right? You mentioned it there with Willie Green talking about the effort and how that's going to lead to wins. It'll lead to wins when you have the talent there. It might not lead to wins right now if we're being realistic about it, but you're seeing fight and competitiveness from this team, which is really all you can ask for given the glut of injuries that they have at the moment. And that means that if you play with that intensity, that effort, that energy, when you do have the talent, you can go on a winning streak. You could win 5 in a row. You could win 10 in a row with the amount of talent that they have here in New Orleans, because there were a lot of people that were really high on this team coming into the regular season. So when they get those guys back, it'll make a world of difference. I think they struggle in 48-minute games because you're relying on 3 two-way guys. Those aren't guys that should be playing 35 minutes per game. You know, a rookie center that we thought was pretty raw, who has developed incredibly well and has impressed us all, but is still a rookie center. So they're really kind of running on fumes at the end of games, and that's why I think you see them competitive for the first 3.5 quarters, and then that second half of the fourth quarter, the lead kind of slips away or they just get out of contention there. You know, you need to find a way to do it for all 48 minutes against a team like the Dallas Mavericks, particularly when you're on, you know, a back-to-back and playing Cleveland tomorrow. That's not going to be easy either. You've just got to find a way to limit some of those, you know, unforced errors, cut down on the turnovers, which New Orleans has done a really good job of the past couple of weeks. You've got to go after those offensive rebounds to keep your offensive possessions alive and get those second chance points. That's been a point of emphasis for the team. If you do that, they will be in position to try and win this game. Whether they do or not, I could not tell you, and it still might be an uphill battle, but at least you're in position to try and get the win, and you're not out of the running in the first half or in the first quarter. That's what you're looking for in this one tonight. And truly, it's going to come down to how do you defend Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. Those are the two guys that really make that Dallas Mavericks team go. There are other really good pieces there in Klay Thompson, some of the big men that you mentioned. But it comes down to those two. If you limit them, this team is beatable. It'd be helpful to have Herb Jones and DeJounte Murray in, but we've seen Brandon Boston Jr. not be a negative on defense. He'll be starting tonight and has a chance to do it. Ingram can be an above-average defender as well, so it's going to take a team effort, but they can certainly get it done.
You mentioned Brandon Boston there. Curious your thoughts on with the guys, the injured bunch, starting to get back into the flow. When this Pels team finally does get everybody back, you think Brandon Boston's been a guy that's earned a spot to remain on this roster?
Yeah, I think so. He's looked good, and he's proven that he's an NBA rotation guy. I don't think he should be a starter, and this is not someone who should be playing kind of the role that he's been playing. But as an energy guy, kind of a self-creator, a go-to scorer off the bench, he can certainly fill that role. What he does well, particularly for that bench unit, is he can create his own offense. Jordan Hawkins can't really do that. Some of the other guys can't really do that, but he absolutely can, and I think that means you can kind of make him the centerpiece of that unit. So when everyone comes back from injury, he just fits more naturally into a better role for him, which means we should see an even better version of him, at least in terms of efficiency and on a permanent basis, even if the raw numbers aren't as good because he's playing fewer minutes. But he's someone that should end up getting, you know, a full-time NBA contract. He's on a two-way right now. That limits the amount of games that they can play with the team. It kind of starts a ticking clock, which he's been going. He's been really good for the Pelicans. It seems like the coaching staff really likes what they've gotten out of him, too. I'm really excited to see what the future is going to hold for him.
He's been just awesome, in all honesty. And I mean, talk about a player that's made the most of his opportunity because of all the injuries he's been put in that starting lineup. And I agree with you, Jake. I think once they start to get some players back healthy, like CJ, like Hawkins, like, you know, DeJounte and stuff like that, it's definitely a player that will be off the bench. But I still think Brandon Boston has done plenty, as you mentioned, to kind of solidify his spot on this roster. I want to ask you about the big man rotation, because I think it's been pretty interesting to follow this year. Obviously, even Misi's kind of been forced to be the starter early on, and, you know, entering basically the opener and kind of the first few games of the season, we weren't really expecting Misi to be starting, but I mean, he looks a lot further along than a lot of folks expected. Now, Daniel Theis has been an interesting story. He's kind of been buried on the rotation. I mean, Trey Jamison is getting minutes at the big man spot, but they also recalled Carlo Matkovic. I think that's an interesting pull-up based off of what he was doing in the G League. I think he had a crazy game a couple nights ago in the G League. So what do you think about the Pels big man rotation right now, and how do you think it's going to shake up once this team starts to get a little bit more healthy?
You know, outside of Eve Misi, I still think they're figuring out a little bit. Misi's going to be the starter going forward, and even when you get the entire team back healthy, I think he's going to be the starting center. For all that talk we spent on small ball at the beginning of the year, we weren't expecting Misi's development to kind of come in as quickly as it has, and he's been really good, and I think he's going to be entrenched in the starting lineup, and I'm excited to see him and Zion Williamson kind of work together a little bit more, and how does that develop. After that, I still think it's a bit of a question mark. You're seeing Trey Jemison get the minutes right now, and I think that's because of his offensive rebounding ability. The team is really chasing those second-chance points to keep some of those possessions alive where they miss shots just due to lack of talent. He's been useful in that regards, but, man, his hands are rough. He doesn't give you a ton offensively in the flow of the offense, but I think they're trying just the bigger body out there. And then you look at a guy like Daniel Theis, and he fits next to Zion better than he fits next to anybody else, but Zion's not there right now. And I think that's a big part of the reason of why you're seeing him get DMPs, because just the fit doesn't make sense out there on the court. On Carlo, you know, I think they partially recalled him because the Birmingham squadron don't play for 5 days. So having him just stay in Birmingham isn't going to do a whole lot of good. And while he's been playing really well for the squadron, averaging almost 18 points per game and 10 rebounds, pretty close to that, along with about a block and a half, sometimes that G League success doesn't necessarily translate to the NBA. You see a lot of guys that are too good for the G League, but not quite cutting it at the NBA level. But I do think they want to give Carlo some run. He's, of the bigs that we've kind of looked at, really the only one that's a three-point shooting threat that has it in his arsenal that you feel he could hit reliably. They need that kind of court-spacing big. That's definitely not Eve Misi. That's not Trey Jemison. Theis can do it in small spurts, but I wouldn't call him a good volume shooter or anything like that. So I think you'll end up seeing Carlo get an opportunity to try and prove it, but I think that window for him is going to be pretty slim, and he's going to need to make the most of whatever minutes he gets. And if he does that, he can stake out a spot in the rotation, because I don't think they're married to the idea of Trey Jemison as the backup four right now. So there's an opportunity here for him to try and kind of get into the rotation. We'll see if he makes the most of it.
Jake, kind of keeping an eye on, obviously, this Cleveland Cavaliers team right now. They are in Boston, and the Celtics up 34-28 currently. 8 minutes left till halftime there. Cavs 15-0. Hard to knock anything about this club right now. What have you seen out of Cleveland that's made them basically an unstoppable beast at this point?
Look, they're good. They're good. That Cleveland team is really, really good. They have one of the best offenses in the league. They're also a really good defensive team, too. That's one of those clubs, one of those franchises where it shows you coaches matter, right? This was a team that couldn't figure it out with all of the pieces they had last season. They bring in a new coach, kind of change the way they play and get buy-in from all of the players and look at what they're doing with basically the exact same roster as last year. The one area that I was concerned about them was, will they shoot enough threes? And they've been trending upward in that direction. So when the Pelicans play them tomorrow, you're going to need to shoot threes and you're going to need to make your threes, because that is maybe the one area you can get an advantage over Cleveland at the moment, because they are a very talented team, but they can default to a lot of mid-range jumpers. If you make your threes, they're making twos, you win that math battle and you can pull ahead or at least keep it close. That's going to really be important to keep an eye on in the game tomorrow night.
And then last but not least here, Jake, I want to ask you about the Golden State Warriors. I remember it was like a couple of weeks ago, I think we were talking to you about this, where, yeah, the Golden State was going to be without Curry for both those games. We're thinking, oh, man, the Pelicans might be able to pick up some wins here. Yeah. Golden State has been really, really, really strong to start this 2024 season. I mean, they're 10-3 right now. They're second place in the Western Conference, only a half a game back of the OKC Thunder. And if you're talking about point differential, points per game versus opposing points per game, they're second. So, I mean, they're one of the best teams in the West so far this year. I mean, this is a tough stretch for the Pels team, and a shorthanded Pels team at that, where you're having to play, you know, the Lakers and the Mavericks and the Cavaliers, and then kind of capping it off with a game against the Golden State Warriors on Friday. But I want to get your thoughts on that matchup, you know, kind of rounding out the week.
Yeah, it comes down to the Golden State defense. That's what's been so impressive from them this season. It kind of shows you what a difference like health makes. Draymond Green's looked like he's turned back the clock a couple of years, maybe not to like prime Draymond Green, but defensively, he's playing at an all-defensive team level, kind of being that guy where he made his money and is so pivotal to the team. They get a guy like Andrew Wiggins back healthy, who's a menace on the defensive side of the ball, and they kind of play like the Pelicans want to play on the defensive side, forcing a lot of turnovers, getting out and running while having switchability on defense, keeping people out of the paint. That's kind of fallen off for New Orleans this year with all of the injuries. But if you can find ways to generate some offense, so it's going to require a lot of ball movement, less isolation, less mid-range jumpers, but manufacturing not just good shots, but great shots, that's a team that you can compete with. They can be a little bit streaky on offense. Steph Curry is Steph Curry. Buddy Hield has been pretty good for them this year. But outside of that, there's not a ton of offensive threats there. So they have periods where they just don't really score, but they're also not going to let you score. So if you can generate some offense in that against, admittedly, a tough defense, you'll be able to stay in that game, I think, because the Pelicans' defense should be somewhat okay. They've just got to come out with the right effort, but at least that one's going to be at home, and I think that's going to be really important for the Pelicans.
Jake, always appreciate the basketball knowledge you drop on us. Thanks so much for the time.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, y'all.
Thanks, Jake.
For all things Pelicans, subscribe to Locked On Pelicans on the Odyssey app, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Coming up, pregame coverage on 870 AM of Pels and Mavericks, a 7:30 tip-off NBA Cup game. We'll be right back with more sports talk after this here on WWL. All our sports fans listening and all our sports talk fans as well, you can join Mike Dettillier in Thibodeau tomorrow. He'll be live from the Thibodeau Regional Health System Wellness Center, talking sports and the countdown to the Riverbell Classic. The clash of Southland teams, Southeastern, first facing Nichols. That's Thursday at John L. Guidry Stadium. Come by and say hi. Hang out with Mike D tomorrow. That's 4 to 6 at the Thibodeau Regional Health System. Well, Thibodeau Regional Health System Wellness Center. I'll get it out. 602 North Acadiana Road here on WWL. And Charlie, we got an update on some college football playoff seedings.
Yeah, so it just came out about probably a half hour ago at this point. Oregon, number one, no surprise. Ohio State at 2, Texas at 3, Penn State at 4, Indiana at 5. That is a lot of Big Ten in the top 5. And we'll talk about the Indiana-Ohio State matchup when we do our pick six, Steve. But yeah. Ohio State, 12.5 point favorites against the undefeated
Heavy
Indiana
duty.
Hoosiers. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Moving on, Notre Dame at 6, Alabama at 7, Miami at 8, Ole Miss at 9, Georgia at 10, Tennessee at 11, Boise State at 12. And BYU is rounding out the top 12 because they're currently penciled in as the Big 12 champion. But
Boise
we'll
State
happens.
Moving up.
What's that?
Boise State moving up.
Well, Boise State has been fantastic. And if you're talking about, you know, the only team that might be able to keep Tulane out of the playoff,
yeah,
it's maybe Boise State at this point, because Tulane's at 20 and Tulane's getting some buzz right now. Army's at 19 and those two teams are set for a clash pretty soon here. Now Army's also plays Notre Dame this weekend. That's another one of the games that we're going to be picking, but I mean, Tulane's got a shot. They just need Boise to trip up, I think. So we'll see what happens. But that's kind of the updated standings right now. As we mentioned earlier, during triple option, there was an 84% chance for four SEC teams to make the playoffs. And it's really kind of jammed in there when you look at Alabama at 7, Ole Miss at 9, Georgia at 10, and Tennessee at 11. And that's not even including like Texas A&M at 15. There's a bunch of teams, and also obviously Texas at 3. There's a bunch of teams that are going to be fighting for those final spots of a 12-team playoff. I really can't wait to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, just checking real quickly on Boise State's schedule the rest of the way. They've got at Wyoming November 23rd, and then on the 29th, taking on Oregon State. They host Oregon State on that matchup.
Yeah, so Boise's looking pretty solid.
Right.
We'll see what happens. And
anything can happen.
I know that Mike likes Travis Hunter to win the Heisman. I just love Jenty, man. I get Hunter's doing something that nobody does, where you play like both sides of the football, like cornerback and wide receiver. But Jenty's putting up some ridiculous numbers, and the efficiency that he's doing it with Boise State, he is so fun to watch. So obviously I'm rooting for Tulane and Coach Summerall to make the playoff, but man, seeing Jenty and Boise State up there would be fun too.
Yeah, I was kind of taken back when my kiddo's giving out his Christmas wish list already. He had a Boise State Jenty jersey on his list. I was like, okay then.
The youth appreciates greatness.
He also wants a Jackson Dart Ole Miss jersey.
Oh.
I know. I was like, oof. Yeah. Right. His name's Jackson, though. So I was like, does that have anything to do with it? He's like, no, not really. I just like him, Dad. I was like, okay.
Yeah, Jenty, I'm with him there. I love me some Ashton Jenty. But we'll see. I think he's obviously first running back off the board in this upcoming draft. It's a matter of how high he goes. I think he's a first-round pick, obviously, but...
Yeah, I was joking with my son. I'm like, he might end up on the Dallas Cowboys, son. Watch out. Yeah,
you might see that. If you're Dallas, and once again, we talked about this with
Schlereth, kinds of help.
Where you can't run the football or stop the run,
no.
Like, what do you do at that point?
Your stadium falling apart, too.
Oh, my God. They're a disaster. So maybe you draft Jenty, and that's like your running back of the future, or you draft like a Mason Graham, get like some kind of defensive tackle to help your awful run defense. I don't know.
We'll be back to close out Sports Talk as we get ready for the Saints Hour on 105.3 FM at 7 o'clock and also Pel's pregame coverage at Dallas on 870 AM. Coming back right after this to close out Sports Talk on WWL. Closing out Sports Talk here and coming up next on 105.3 FM. Stay tuned for the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, and Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis on the Saints Hour, or you can go to 870 AM for Pelicans at Dallas Mavericks pregame coverage, a 7:30 tip-off as the Pels try to get their first road win since October 25th. We'll be back with more Sports Talk tomorrow, folks. Mike D and Thibodeau. See you then. For Charlie Long, Mike D, I'm Steve Geller. Have a great night.
Go Pels.